Well, good morning. After my introduction in the first service, I started crying, but I pulled myself together for you guys. I'm not going to break down for you. Before we get started, I do have a question. Are there any visitors here for the first time? Show of hands if you're here for the first time. I'm sorry. You know, you go check out a church, someone invites you, and you're like, oh, yeah, I want to see what it's like, and then they have the one Sunday of the year, the guest speaker comes in. So if you guys would do me a favor, mean a lot to me, will you come back next week so that you can see what Cleburne Bible Church is actually like and hear some of the good preaching that you can get here? Thank you guys for having me this morning. It really is a pleasure to be here. I want you to know that over the last 8 weeks, y'all have been going through the Together series. Well, I've been going through that as well. I've been listening to that online from Germany, and I can't tell you how much I am excited for the vision that your pastors are putting together here to build community in Cleburne Bible Church. The church cannot exist if we are not leaning on each other, if we are not loving one another, if we're not listening to each other and praying for one another. And what I think is one of the most essential aspects of the church is that it's community. It's spending and doing life together. And so please don't glaze over the words that they're sharing with you. Please invest in one another's lives. Get involved in small groups. That's what we do in Germany. That's what we're there for, is to pour into the military community and to build community. And so please take that to heart. Before I jump into some of my thoughts on missions today and some of my experiences and some stories I want to share with you, I want to start with what I always try to start with whenever I have a chance to stand in the pulpit, and that is a reminder that it's all about Jesus. We are here today because of our risen King. I hope that there's things I say that connect with you, but the one thing I hope that connects better than anything else is that we believe in Jesus. We trust him. I want to start with reading one of my favorite passages out of Colossians, Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Paul writes, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." He's holding it all together in his hand. "And he is the head of the body, the church, us. He is our head. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." You have to hear these words this morning. We're not here to feel good about ourselves. We're not here to be good people and to go just, you know, do good things. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about the thing that he did for us. When we were still sinners, Christ died for our sins. That's why I'm here this morning. As I share with you, I want you to know my story as well. Dave kind of mentioned it, but in 1 Peter 3:15, it talks about always being prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have, the hope in us. And I want to give you the reason I have hope this morning. I did. I graduated from Cleburne High School in 1998, and I was a dirtbag. I was doing life for myself. Some of you probably knew me back then, and you can vouch for me. No comments right now. Hold those till the end, please. But I was a drunk. I was living for myself, and I took that through college, 2 years that I flunked out of, and then I joined the Air Force. And while I was in the Air Force, it's when my life finally began to crumble a little bit, and I began to ask really hard questions. And I started meeting with chaplains in the military, and they started challenging me on all kinds of things. And a few conversations I had that really impacted me, one was a chaplain reminding me, he said, "Why don't you go to church on Sundays?" I said, "Well, you know, when I was in college, I watched people party till 3 a.m. and then get drunk, go home, go to bed, and then get up and go to church on Sunday morning. And that was hypocritical, and I don't want to be a hypocrite." And he so kindly looked at me and said, "Well, you are a hypocrite, so you kind of need to get over that." And then he said, "What do you think Jesus would want you to be on Sunday morning? Forget what you think. What would God want for you?" And so I started going to church on Sunday morning. And eventually, the Lord captured my heart. I surrendered my life. And I began to get involved in community and follow Christ. And it wasn't until 2 years later that I was stationed. I was moved from California to England, that I was stationed in England, and this couple invited me into their home. They're Cadence missionaries like myself. They'd been in England for about 10 years, and they said, "Hey, why don't you come have dinner with us?" And so I went and had dinner with them, and they introduced me to community. They introduced me to the church. They showed me what it looked like to live in community with one another, to do life together and to share your burdens with one another and to pray for one another. And for 2 years, my life was radically changed by biblical community. That's why I can't say enough. This Together series that's been going through here, you've got to heed the words. If you're not involved in a small group, if you don't know people intimately and you're not sharing your sin and your struggle with others, you are missing out on such great joy that can be found within the church. Eventually, I dug in and began to read the Word, and as I read the Word, I received my calling to ministry. And you know, it wasn't some profound light that came down from heaven that you know, oh, you know, nothing like that. It was, I'm reading the Word, and I got in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and this is a book that Paul wrote to his young disciple Timothy, who was pastoring a church, and he said, here's what I want you to do, Timothy. And as I read these words, I felt as if God was speaking them to me. He said, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." And I realized at that moment that was my calling, was to just be an example. It's interesting, the ministry we get to do with military, it's so life on life that so much of our ministry is not Bible study. It's me having a fight with my wife in front of soldiers and them getting to see for the first time what it looks like to fight fair, because they grew up in households where mom and dad just either didn't communicate or they screamed at each other. They get to watch me parent my kids and get to see me fail and go back to my kids and go, "I'm so sorry I yelled at you. Will you please forgive me?" So much of what we do is just being an example to others. Choosing to ask for forgiveness because we've been so greatly forgiven. And so I took that calling seriously, and I began pursuing my Bible education, and I ended up meeting my wife through Cadence, the ministry we work with, and we decided to dedicate our lives to this ministry that so greatly transformed us. She herself was stationed in England, and the same couple had ministered to her years before, and her life was changed by that. So this morning, I want to move on. I want to share some of the, this is Mission Sunday. This is a time for us to reflect on what God is doing globally and what role you have to play in that. And I want to talk and share some stories with you, but I want to read with you a passage before we do that. Matthew 28, verses 16 through the end of the book of Matthew. Now remember, Matthew was written by one of Jesus' disciples. He was a guy that was there. So the thing he's writing, he witnessed. He was there, and he's writing what he saw. In Matthew 28, verse 16, he goes on to explain what what we can call the Great Commission. And listen to these words. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is one of those passages that we quote in church, kind of like John 3:16. And I feel like the meaning often gets lost because we just kind of know it by heart. I call it cliche passages. You know, cliches are the things we offer people as we don't know what to say, so we'd say, "Oh, just pray about it, brother. Just pray about it. Turn to Jesus." Oftentimes we don't know what to say, and we offer up these cliches. When those things are true, we should be praying about things. We should be turning an offer to Jesus. But we lose the meaning because we've just heard it so many times. Jesus says in verse 20, "In teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." He's telling his disciples this. We who follow Jesus are his disciples. We can apply this passage to our own lives because we are his disciples. He says, "In teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." What has he commanded us to do? "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." He says it right before he tells it. He gives a command, and then he says, "Obey my command." This is so important because in Acts chapter 1, we hear a little bit more about what's going on with this commission. He gives a little more specifics to how this plays out. In verse 8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The way I view this in my own ministry is that Jerusalem is Cleburne. This is your Jerusalem. This is your home. This is where you live. And this is where the disciples lived, was in Jerusalem, right? He says, "Go and be disciples in Jerusalem." And let me tell you something, guys. You are doing a fantastic job in your Jerusalem. Yeah, you can always do better, but you're doing well. I hear stories all the time about how Cleburne Bible Church is reaching in the community. And Don Hunt has led a community outreach that's been phenomenal. Follow him. He is doing great. But there's more than just Jerusalem. Judea and Samaria set outside of Jerusalem. They were people that were very similar to the people who lived in Jerusalem. They had similar backgrounds and everything, but they were a little further outside. It's kind of like the state of Texas or even the United States. They were people you have things in common with, but they're outside of your local community. So he says there's these three areas. There's Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And we are called to reach all three of those. Today, some of you here are being called to go, to pack up, put your stuff in a bag, and go to Germany. No, not Germany. Sorry, I go to Germany. You go somewhere else. You're being called to go. And I'm talking specifically to you today. I know it's not all of you, but I know some of you are receiving a call, and you need to talk to God about this call. I'm going to be here later this evening, and I would love, if you feel something on your heart and you want to just process through it, I want you to come tonight at 6 and sit with me. I'll be out there, and we'll talk about calling and what a calling looks like and how you work through that. And then if you have questions about what it means to be a missionary, I want to answer those questions for you. So consider that today as I'm talking, to come back and speak to me tonight. Not all of you are being called to go, though. When I say that, I mean not all of you are called to pack your stuff up and move somewhere else in the world. But all of you are called to go. Every one of you who claims to be a follower of Jesus is required to go. The commission is for all of us. And so let's talk about these two categories of those who are being called to go and those that are called to go but maybe not stay, maybe come back. Let me just explain to you that I'm a normal guy. I play video games on my phone sometimes. I do normal things. The only thing not normal about me is that we picked up and we moved our family to a foreign country. But everything about me is normal. Normal people pack up and move overseas. Anyone can do it. There's a very important thing to understand about what ministry looks like, too, as we go overseas. The first call is to go, but the second call is to be. It's to be the church. I was sitting in Africa about 4 years ago in a small village in Gitega, Burundi, and this man came in, and some of you have met guys like this before. He was from Burundi. He's a Burundian man, real tall guy, and he came in. He had this demeanor. You knew he loved you when he saw you. He just had this warmth about him, and he set us down, and he said, listen, all you guys are from Western places, and you've come to Africa, and I want you to enjoy your time in Africa, but I want you to understand one thing. Westerners are great at doing, but they're really terrible at being. He said, when you're here this week, I don't want you to be so focused on doing that you miss an opportunity to be with these orphans, to be with these kids, to love them and spend time with them. So much of ministry is not about all the work we're doing. It's about simply being the church, being the body. And so that got me thinking. I started reading different books, and I started really formulating my thoughts more in depth on what it means for us to go. What kind of things can we do as the American church, as a Western church, to affect and impact the rest of the world? And I've got some ideas for you today, but before I tell you my ideas, I want to read a quote from you that really impacted me. This is a quote from David Platt's book, Radical. He has a challenge at the end of his book. And that challenge is to do various things. Some is pray for different places in the world so you know what the world looks like. We're spending time thinking about the world. He says one of the big things that he said that really got me thinking was spending time in another context. This is the quote when he talks about this. He says, I remember when I was first prepared to go to Sudan, a nation impoverished by years of civil war. The trip was going to cost me around $3,000. It wasn't easy to travel into Sudan since they were still at war, and we'd have to charter a plane and spend a few extra days to make it happen. I remember one dear lady in the church coming up to me and asking, why don't you just send $3,000 to the people of Sudan? Wouldn't that be a better use of the money than spending a week and a half with them? Think about how far that money could go. I wrestled with that question. Was I wasting these funds in order to go when I could simply give the money instead? Should I even be going? I continued wrestling with that question until I got to Sudan. There, I had a conversation with Andrew that shed some light on the question. Andrew was sharing with me about his life in Sudan over the last 20 years. He had known war since he was born, and he described facets of the suffering and persecution of his people that they'd been through. He told me about the various groups, mostly secular and government organizations, that had brought supplies to them during that time. And he expressed thanks for the agencies of so many people and their generosity. But then he looked at me and he asked, even in light of all these things that people have given us, do you want to know how I can tell who a true brother is? I leaned forward and asked, how? He responded, a true brother comes to be with you in your time of need. Then he looked at me in the eye and said, David, you are a true brother. Thank you for coming to be with us. Tears welled up in my eyes as the reality of the gospel hit home with me in an entirely new way. I immediately was reminded that when God chose to bring salvation to you and me, he did not send gold or silver, cash or check. He sent himself, the Son. I was convicted for even considering that I should give money instead of actually coming to Sudan. How will I ever show the gospel to the world if all I send is my money? Was I really so shallow as to think that my money is the answer to the needs of the world? If we're going to accomplish the global purpose of God, it will not be primarily through the giving of our money, as important as that is. It will be primarily through giving ourselves. This is what the gospel represents, and it's what the gospel requires. That quote had such a deep impact on me because I started realizing that if I'm going to understand what's going on in the world, if I'm going to teach soldiers, these soldiers that come to my house, what it means to be disciples of Christ, I've got to have seen these things for myself. I remember thinking before I got to Germany, I was reading these stories about missionaries who were up and doing these short-term mission projects. I'm like, well, if you're so passionate about these people in Africa, why don't you move to Africa and minister to them there? Or Thailand, move to Thailand. I didn't understand it until I went. And once I went, then I got it. Going on a short-term mission does a couple things. Going and spending time in another context does a few things. The first thing it does is it opens your eyes to a very, very different world and puts your life in perspective. God uses short-term mission projects all the time to change people's hearts, to put our lives in perspective. Second, the global church has so much to offer each other. I can tell you story after story. One of the problems I had about this morning was that I couldn't figure out what I wanted to share with you because I have a sermon series of about five different sermons about all these experiences and the things I've learned from traveling over the globe for the last 5 years. I've been to Burundi in Central Africa. I've been to Thailand, Chiang Mai, and the Burmese border. I've been to India and Hyderabad. I went to Prague and visited the Christian International School of Prague where the Chumleys are. I went to Israel this last year and met with missionaries who were reaching Muslims and Jews. I've gotten to see and meet all these different people, and their stories could fill up a book of all the incredible experiences I've got to see and the people I've got to meet. The global church has so much to offer each other, not meaning they have something to offer you, but you have something to offer them as well. Every one of you has something to offer them. Think of this. Half the world lives on less than $2 a day. That is a very different world than what you and I experience. I bought a Starbucks this morning. That's expensive. less than $2, nearly half the world. Does that not shock you? It's so different than what we do, what we understand. But I can tell you, seeing it and experience it changed my heart. It changed my life. Also, the last thing it does is it opens your heart to hear God's voice in a very different way. We can sit here this morning and God can be speaking to you, but when you are sitting in a context that doesn't belong to you, when you're an outsider, when you don't understand the language, all of a sudden you realize that the world doesn't revolve around you. I can't tell you how often I am inwardly focused and thinking about how this world revolves around me. And I promise you, when you go and you see, you don't believe that anymore. So we were in India. I'm going to share a quick story with you. We're within India, and we went to a remote church, and I met a man named Jesu Babu. The first name is kind of like Jesus. It's Jesu. Jesu Babu, and he was a pastor of a church. He'd been a pastor of this church for 7 years. We were sitting in their brand new church building that they just built. They were so proud to have this place where they could come together and worship. And we sat down, and with an interpreter, I looked over at my interpreter and I said, can you have him share his story with us? I want to know how this all came to be. You know, a Christian church in a small Christian community is kind of unheard of in India. The Hindu religion doesn't let other churches come in. And so this man said, well, I became a believer, and then I decided to go out and make disciples. And so I moved my baby and my wife here, and we came to this village. It was about 150 people, he said, and I wanted to reach this village for Christ. He said, and we got here, and they wouldn't let us come into the village. He said, so for the first month, me and my wife and my child slept in the bus stop, waiting for an opportunity for us to come in and share about Jesus. He said, a month later, a woman who was crippled was laying there, and someone said, hey, will you come and pray for this lady? So I came over and I prayed for her, and immediately she stood up and was healed. And all of a sudden, everyone came around and said, what is this? What happened? He said, that lady became a believer, and all of a sudden she turned. She was one of the elders of the village. She said, we must let this man in. He's a healer. He is from God. And so they began to hear his message, and they welcomed him into the village. And I looked at the interpreter. I go, will you ask him if he knows why we're here? And he looked at the pastor and said, do you know why they're here? And he shook his head, no. And I told my interpreter, I said, tell him it's because we'd heard about the work he was doing, and we wanted to come see it for ourselves. We heard that Jesus was moving here, and we wanted to hear his story and learn about it. And he turned and told him, and the man began to weep. And he said, no one's ever asked me my story before. No one's ever asked me about what has happened. I've never told this story before. Can you believe that? It's such an incredible story, and he's never told it. The church, the global church, has so much to offer us. And in my opinion, since you got me here, I'm going to give it to you. In my opinion, one of the great things that we have to offer the global church is pastoral care. We got a wall of missionaries out there. You can get that, it's okay. We got a wall of missionaries out there that need to be cared for. I'm on that wall. So this is a little self-serving as I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's true. There are days we wake up in Germany and my wife and I look at each other and we're like, why are we here? This is so hard. What are we doing to our kids? Why are we here? How long can we realistically keep this up? We went to India and we sat down with our guide. His name was Zeb. And I said, Zeb, what do you have planned for the week? He said, well, you know, we're going to go out to this village and do a VBS. And then tomorrow we're going to do this. And then we're going to go over and put on a church service over here. And we're going to do this and this and this and this. And I looked at him and I go, oh, okay. Those were things that were on your schedule that you needed to get taken care of this week? And he goes, what? And I go, you need to go put on a VBS for this village. That's one of your jobs for the week. And he goes, no. I go, look, Zeb, we didn't come here for a Facebook profile picture. We didn't come here to have pictures with little orphans and to feel good about ourselves. We came here because we heard about the work you're doing, and we want to make sure that you have the resources. We want to go back and tell your story to other people. We want to encourage you and love you. And so if you need to put on a VBS program for this remote village, I want to do that for you. But that's not why we're here. I said, you figure out what you want to do and let me know. About 30 minutes later, he looked back at me and he goes, would you guys like to go to church with me tomorrow? I want to show you where I go to church. We said, we'd love to go to church with you tomorrow. We spent a week with these missionaries in India learning about all different facets. But the fact of this, the truth of the matter is this. When you go on a short-term mission project, you will not have a lasting impact on the people you're reaching. You may have a lasting impact on your heart. So let's get these short-term projects figured out. We have something to offer, and that is caring for those who have gone and packed up and moved. And the second thing is we reach America as Americans better than anyone else does. Most people are startled to hear this, but did you know that South Korea sends missionaries to reach Americans? Why are you laughing? The Great Commission gets to go into all the world. But the truth of the matter is you all know you can reach Americans better than a South Korean can, right? It's our culture. It's our people. And so the second thing we must be in doing is teaching and empowering indigenous pastors and missionaries to go and reach their people. That's one of our jobs in the Great Commission. And we do that by going. We go and meet them. We go and see them. I got a special video here for you. I want to show you. Many of you guys know Jill. Good, John. Jill is a hero of mine. A few months ago, she packed up and she left. She followed the calling. She said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I hear God's voice and I'm going to move. If you would, please play that video. Let's watch this. Amen.
Amen.
You're clear. Great. All right. So I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
My first question for you was, before you left, there was probably tons of stuff in your life going on that you were just, I'm sure, stressed out about or whatever. What were your fears before you got to Prague?
I guess I hadn't taught for 3 years, and I kind of was rusty on what that would be like to have a classroom again, and before I hadn't taught regular classroom. So just the questions about, I guess, my own ability and what I would remember. And of course, it kicks back in after a little while. But
what about life overseas, though?
That was pretty incredible to think about, not knowing, you know, living by myself in an apartment and getting around, and just everything was completely new and different. So.
And you've been there how long now?
I came August 2nd. So next week it'll be 2 months.
Wow.
And so that,
so two months later, what has changed in your perspective?
Well, I see everything, I guess, a little bit differently, in the sense that, well, mostly I just really sense God's presence, in the sense that I have never walked around in a big city by myself at night or ridden in a crowded subway with people that don't even speak my language, and there's lots of situations that I never dreamed I would be in, and I just know that God's got me, and it's really neat. I mean, that not that I don't get scared sometimes, but or lonely or afraid, but still, it's just he has just been really sweet to me.
Yeah,
he's been really sweet to me and helped me through the times that were hard, and it's rich to meet so many people here at the school who've been all over the world. I have a little boy today who's lived in South Africa and he's lived in England. He was telling stories about seeing lions and other, I mean, at 4MKs. So they're telling me these cool stories. So it's just fun to be a part of their life and to be someone that can impact them.
Yeah, I loved when we were talking the other day and we were talking about the reach. And I don't know that I recognize the reach that you get until we were talking that, like, all these kids are coming from all these different parts of the world. They're coming to get a good education at Christian International School of Prague. And then you're sending them back out with the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. I think one of my final questions, or one of the big things I really want to stress as I'm talking to Cleburne Bible is, one, I don't want them to fear. I mean, there's no reason to feel like there's hard days, there's good days, there's bad days, but that's wherever you are. And mm-hmm. So really, what kind of encouragement can you give for people who are just kind of on the precipice? They're feeling this calling to go, but they're just kind of, they're afraid to move. What would you say?
Yeah. Well, I just feel like if you take one step, he runs to meet you. And it's just, at first, just praying about it and thinking about it and it's really God does it if you're open to it and you're listening and God puts it on your heart and just loving. And these kids need love, and well, they all do, but you know, some of them have had some pretty tough times. It's hard. It's a hard life, and to be able to be a part of their story. Of course, I'm talking as a teacher, and there could be a lot of other aspects of missionary work you could do, but that's just the kids. And I'm going to start teaching Sunday school at church too, so I'm going to get even more.
Well, I just want to say thank you from me. We've been here now, we've been doing Cadence for 12 years now or 13 years, and I can't even tell you what an encouragement it is for you to say, you know what? What's stopping me and going? And so as a missionary to a missionary, like, it's one of the biggest encouragements that we've had in the last couple of years is that you just said, I'm going to go. And so we're glad to be a part of your team. We know you've been a part of our team for years, and yeah, that's just the way God works. And so thank you for...
That's where it starts, though. It really is true. They say if you get involved with missionaries, you're more likely, because the more you get to know them, the more you realize that. And that's where you start.
Right. Well, thanks for chatting with us, and you want to say hi to Cleburne Bible Church, I guess?
Bible Church, I love you. Thanks for your prayers and your support. I couldn't be here without you.
She says that's where it starts. That's what I'm calling you, commissioning you to do today, is to get involved with missionaries. get to know the people on the wall out there. I have plenty of missionaries that I've met through the years that just need people to love on them. And I would encourage you to start there. Also, I do want to let you know that I invited Jill to come spend Christmas with us in Germany, and I think she's going to come for 3 weeks and hang out with us and play with my kids and that stuff, so I'm pretty excited about that. You don't need to wait for the church to put together a missions project for you to go on one. You don't need approval, guys. You can do this. Go meet missionaries. Ask how you can serve in their ministry. Go meet foreign pastors. See where you can serve and how you can encourage and love them. Tonight, I'm putting on a roundtable discussion. If anyone here is feeling just this desire to talk more about mission work and missionary stuff and the calling, I would love to help you figure out what your call is. I think that there is a way we can just talk through some of your things and we can figure out what God is calling you to. So many people are unsure of what God is calling them to. God is calling us all to something. Please come chat with me tonight at 6 o'clock out in the foyer there, and I'll be here to just sit and talk. And finally, the last thing I want to say today, and the most important thing is, I've said a lot of stories about what I've gotten to do and my experiences, but it's not about me. I'm here today because I believe in Jesus. I'm here today because Jesus is my King. If you don't know Jesus, man, I got to introduce you to my King. He is worth it. He is worthy of our praise and our adoration and our worship. Get to know Jesus. He will change your life. He changed mine. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you for Cleveland Bible Church. Thank you for the 12 years of support that they've given me and Elaine. Thank you for the Great Commission, that you didn't call us to just hang out and be still, but you called us to move. You called us to serve and love. Lord, I pray for this body. I thank you for the ministry that they have here in Cleburne and the various aspects where they reach into broken people's lives and they care and serve their community. But Lord, I pray that they would continue to gain speed and a heart for the globe, for the people of the world. I pray that you would move in this body and that you would raise up a handful of people who would go and continue to multiply the kingdom for your glory and for your honor. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.